Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Oh, Alec Murdaugh. Here's a name we haven't heard in a little while. But as you know, he's trying to take his case to the South Carolina Attorneys General and to the Supreme Court. Because of the jury tampering allegations, and they're pretty big allegations, whether you like Alec Murdaugh or not. South Carolina Attorney General's office wants more time now to answer Alec Murdaugh's Supreme Court appeal. The Murdaugh team isn't having it, though, in a rare move that flips the courtroom script. It's the defense pressing to move things forward, while the prosecution is asking the highest court in the state to slow it down. On April 3rd, the AG's office asked for a second extension in Murdaugh's appeal process. They're asking for 120 more days, which would push their deadline to respond until August 8th. But Murdaugh's lawyers fired back almost immediately with a simple message: no. Richard Har Putalin, one of Murdaugh's lead attorneys, didn't mince words in an email directly to the state's attorneys. He said, "We will not consent." The state's request comes in response to a 121-page appeal filed by Murdaugh's legal team back in December. That appeal is no small document. It accuses former Culloden County Clerk of Court Becky Hill of jury tampering, questions the way evidence was presented, and basically asks the court to take a second look at one of the most widely followed trials in recent memory. The Supreme Court received both motions, the AG's request for time and the defense's refusal, but hasn't yet ruled on either. Murdaugh, the disbarred attorney turned convicted murderer, was sentenced to back-to-back life terms last year for the 2021 shooting death of his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. He's always denied involvement in the killings. His legal team filed for appeal last December, citing what they claim were serious errors during the trial, including that explosive allegation of jury tampering. Originally, the AG's office had 90 days to respond to the appeal, a deadline they agreed on with the defense, and that gave them until April 10th. But now they want more months, claiming the scope of the case is just too big to tackle in that time. Their reasoning, for starters, the trial transcripts span over 6,000 pages.
Yikes.
And that audio recordings, visual exhibits, the legal briefs, side hearings, and you've got mountains of material to review. The AG's team also says they're dealing with other major cases, including death penalty litigation, and their attorneys are simply stretched thin. But Murdaugh's side isn't buying it. They say this appeal has already been pending far too long. They point out that if the extension is granted, it will have taken the state an entire year to respond to their brief, and they say that they've never heard of that happening in any criminal case, capital or otherwise. That's the words from Murdaugh's attorney. Take them for what they're worth. They also argue that if the attorney general's office can't keep up with its caseload, they should hire outside help. With 90 attorneys on staff, the defense questions why this one case needs so much extra time. Then there's the most telling part. Murdaugh's lawyers say they believe that the state's case won't hold up on appeal. They argue that dragging this out only delays justice, and that unless the AG's office is hiding some blockbuster argument, the state's trying to stall a process that could ultimately lead to overturning the murder convictions. Let's be clear, even if Murdaugh wins the appeal, It doesn't mean he walks out of prison. He's already pled guilty to a laundry list of financial crimes, millions stolen from clients and colleagues, and those come with their own steep consequences. But overturning the murder convictions would shake up the legacy of a trial that gripped the country, and I think his legacy, too. That's what he's looking for, is to not have this one on his record. Now, it's up to the South Carolina Supreme Court to decide whether the state deserves more time or if the clock has already run out on Alec Murdaugh. I do not know how long these sort of processes take, other than I know everything takes forever.
It does. And here's the thing. You know, this could become a precedent-setting case. I mean, think about it. He's just a horrible criminal. But if you don't get a fair trial, watch what happens. You know, this is...
Well, it's true in so many cases.
It is. But this one's going to stand out because he clearly is guilty of the financial crime, stealing from his clients, horrible things. And yet we're going to prop him up and give him a fair trial because he didn't get one. I didn't think we'd be hearing about Alec Murdaugh again, but here we are.
We'll be hearing about Alec Murdaugh for a while. Because look, I think he's a horrible human being, obviously from all the financial crimes and such. At the end of the day, when it comes to the criminal conviction of him for the murder of his family, do I think he probably did it? Yeah. But you had jury tampering going on with Becky Hill, and that is, I don't think, all that questionable if that happened or not. It did happen the way it was laid out. Did it convince a juror to look a different way at the case or vote not guilty or anything like that? Well, you have one that already says that it did. But the state has said, well, we still don't think that's enough. And then that judge just punted it down the way to here, which is now where it's at with the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court denies it, there still are other avenues here. And in the interest of doing everything correctly and holding those accountable who are in these courtrooms, who screw things up left and right and got away with it for so long. We need to do this. There needs to be a purge of this type of stuff. And the purge in these small towns where it says, this is the way we do things and here's how it's going to work. Because it goes on like this far too often. And we see too many cases just get destroyed after people dedicate years of their life to try and fight it. And then some diddly doodah says, I think you should vote this way. Or I think you look closer at this, look closer at that. And then throws a book out there and tries to profit off of the case. I mean, narcissism runs wild.
Do we need to have more safeguards in the court system to prevent jury tampering? Do we need to have somebody sitting in and basically babysitting the jury?
That's what the clerk of court was supposed to do. Instead, they're the ones that went in and tampered. She's the one that went in and tampered.
But
you have the safeguard doing the deed, doing the tampering in this case.
Yeah, I don't know how you stop that. That was a short-sighted question because my thought was, well, how do you prevent this? Becky, that's how.
Yeah, you got to get rid of the Beckys, and you need to have it more clear. Like people need to be more educated on what this means, what this is. So if the jurors see it going on while it's going on, they can speak up and go, huh? And they should have another outlet to go to other than Becky Hill to state their concerns. I mean, granted, somebody could have raised their hand and gone to the judge right away. But if you don't know you can, or you don't know that you should, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know.
Well, and that's just the thing. How many people have no idea what law is about?
Well, yeah.
I mean, when I went in for my jury selection, you know, I watch a lot of legal shows. I live with an attorney. I hear legal jargon. I thought I knew a few things. I was dumbfounded by the stuff I didn't know. Just in the preliminary, hey, we're going to, you know, go through some questions and things like that. Listening to them talk, it was just, it's a different language. We're not exposed to it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I don't know how a somebody on a jury who has nothing as far as experience in this, how they would recognize anything. You know, you look at these people who walk in with their clipboard and they have the official badge. You take their word for it that they know what they're doing.
And so many people are crossing their T's and dotting their I's. And then you have some over here that are, you know, barely, you know, getting a pencil out and writing a sentence. Yeah. And it's such a stark contrast sometimes. They're just the system needs to have more safeguards to hold itself responsible. And then it turns into something like this, where it's like, well, the system screwed up pretty good. The system also has it in its best interest to protect itself as well. And then you start to get into, you know, conspiracy theory or just unjust areas where, well, are they making this decision because they don't want to have to be accountable for screwing up, or are they doing it because it's truly the right thing? I mean, look at the Karen Reed issue right now with they're trying to take it to the Supreme Court of the United States, arguing that, well, we had a unanimous decision here, but we weren't asked about it and we didn't really mark it anywhere. And Judge Cannoni just said, okay, we're done, and never polled the jury. These sort of things are pretty obvious from the outside. I wonder if so many times everybody is too close to the fire in that courtroom, and they know the procedures and how they've been handled in the past, and maybe not everybody is used to the level of scrutiny that some of these major cases get. And so many times, you know, they don't get the scrutiny because there's not the eyeballs on it. There's not the people raising their hands going, this doesn't seem right over here. And they're really being brought to task and called on the carpet for anything that is unjust. It's just, you got to follow the damn rules. And if you don't, you can completely reset a trial, no matter how insignificant you are to a case like Becky Hill.
Yeah.
It's
and imagine if Alec Murdaugh, let's say he didn't do the financial crimes. Let's say this was the only case that he went through. And let's just for the sake of argument say that maybe he's innocent. Now he's sitting in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a corrupt trial. So now we have a citizen of our country that is sitting behind bars and will be for a while. I mean, 6,000 pages of transcripts and exhibits and audio and side hearings and other things that they had going on. That's a lot of material to go through. So he's just basically wasting his life. Now, he is guilty of those other things. But just imagine, apply that to somebody who maybe was innocent, but somebody slanted things.
Yeah.
And they were deemed guilty, and now they're sitting behind bars. You don't get your life back. You can't step into a Stewie Griffin time machine from Family Guy and go back and get that time back in your life. It's over, you know?
It's very disturbing just how many inept, incompetent people are in positions of power that can completely ruin another's life to such an extent with zero accountability. Zero to no accountability. I just got done today going through the police interrogation of Richard Allen. 6 years after he already said, I was there, how can I help? And it is one of the most disturbing hour and a half of video that I've watched as far as an interrogation goes, because the investigation and the interrogation is so off the rails and just completely inept, completely incompetent in how they're in doing this interrogation. And Richard Allen is just giving answers like a normal human being. I mean, I've seen many where you can tell somebody's trying to cover something up.
Yeah.
This ain't that. This is like, he's almost speaking too much, where they're just, well, you said it could be this, it could be that. And like, yeah, I don't know. It was 6 years ago. I don't remember the exact color of coat I was wearing. Can you tell me what coat you were wearing last Thursday? You know, it's like more or less 6 years ago. They totally railroaded him. But this stuff happens, especially when you have blinders. And I'm not saying they railroaded Alec Murdaugh. I think Murdaugh, had Becky Hill just shut the F up, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I think they would have convicted him, and that would be the end of it. But because someone messed with the rules of the game, you got to do it again. That's how it works.
It's going to be expensive, too.
It is.
These taxpayers are paying for all of this. It's right out of their pockets.
Yeah. I mean, I say go after Becky Hill. I'm sure she doesn't have the assets to do it, but I'd say bleed her dry until she's, you know, just living under a bridge, if that's what you have to do. Like, we're going to take everything you got. You caused this with your stupidity. We're taking everything, and we're going to throw it in the coffers to handle this again because of your stupidity. I don't know. It's shocking, but we'll see what how this goes. I mean, the courts usually have the upper hand. They may be very well granted their extra time. But we shall see. I don't know if it's delaying the inevitable, but I think he's going to get another trial. I really do. I know a lot of people disagree with me and think it's not like it's, I don't think it's too far of a stretch.
I don't think it is either. We have so much evidence that he was not given due process here. Yeah. It just, I'm sorry. He's probably guilty as shit.
Yeah.
But we have rules about how we prosecute people and how you get a trial in this country. Well, we're supposed to have rules about
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes.
You kind of spin the wheel. And his were violated. So we need to do right by him.
Yeah.
He may still be guilty, but we need to do right by him.
I completely agree. Tell me what you think in the comments on YouTube. If you're watching the or listening to the podcast, wherever you get podcasts, check out our YouTube channel, Hitting Killers with Tony Bruschi, or vice versa. If you're on the YouTube channel and you want to take us on the go at the park, at the beach, during your workday, we're a better variety of true crime stories to pick you up and make you feel good.
There's your radio guy for you.
A better variety. Anyway, do that. Check us out. Press subscribe. And there's more. There's more on this case.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Remember Becky Hill? She was a Colleton County clerk, the clerk of court, who read out the guilty verdict in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. The guy convicted of murdering his wife and son in one of South Carolina's most jaw-dropping cases ever. Well, now she's the one in trouble. And we've talked about her before, but now she's been arrested. Early last Wednesday morning, Becky Hill got herself actually arrested. Not just a slap on the wrist kind of thing either. We're talking about multiple felony charges. Obstruction of justice, two counts of misconduct, and a perjury charge. The last one came out of Richland County. And just to keep it spicy, two of those charges are linked to the very same Murdaugh trial that she presided over. So this is getting a little bit interesting. What's going to happen? Are we going to see Alex Murdaugh trial number two, considering she's been brought up on felony charges? And by the way, here's Becky's mugshot, in case you were curious.
What I was saying to you before we started recording, and I only say this because my brother had a morning raid by the DEA once.
Whose brother doesn't?
Right? You know, because that's the kind of family I've come from. True crime was always going to be my destiny. I'm not guilty of anything, but I've been around some people who have been. Mm-hmm. But they did a 5 a.m. raid. Like, nobody was dressed, hair not done, makeup not done, that kind of thing. That's what Becky looks like. They rolled her ass out of bed at like 5:15 a.m. and said, "You're coming with us."
Although,
that's what it looks like.
This is previous Becky.
Oh, Becky.
Which is the better Becky? I would honestly argue.
Are you sure that's her?
Yes, that's Becky. This is the Becky we knew and loved. This is the Becky. This is original Becky.
That's Miss Becky. I don't. And the now, second Becky? That ain't Miss Becky. That's,
I would say,
Becky bitch.
That's Becky bitch. This is Becky.
Southern Belle Becky.
This is Becky. I watch too much Banfield Becky, and I'm trying to look like her, but I'm not good at it.
That's Becky that just got home from the bar and laid down on the couch.
Different hair. She's trying to look a lot younger. I think there might be a little Botox or something going on there too. I got to say, even the rough, this Becky looks better than the older Becky. She looks younger now.
The other Becky looks very matronly.
Yeah.
Very, like she's wearing orthotics in her Skechers slip-ons.
This one seems more like she's like doing shots at the bar with Karen.
Yes.
And, you know, like pour an extra shot in here because it just was a weak paw.
Yeah, yeah, and she just took up smoking because all the hot girls are doing it.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, she looks, something's different. She's riding on the edge, man.
I think she's
badass now.
She's trying to live this up, I think, and that's kind of what I'm guessing. So there's that. So what did she allegedly do? Well, according to court documents, she made several, sealed evidence. Yeah, the kind of stuff that's supposed to be kept under legal lock and key, available for photographs. It's a serious no-no in court, like sneaking spoilers out of a movie that hasn't even premiered yet. That's your obstruction of justice charge right there. But it gets more theatrical. Becky apparently used her role in the courtroom drama to push her own behind-the-scenes tell-all book, Behind the Doors of Justice, The Murdaugh Murders, which was written pretty much at a fourth-grade level and then eventually pulled off of Amazon because she plagiarized it.
There's that.
It's like if the usher at the Broadway play started selling their own bootleg DVD of the lobby.
And their own unauthorized t-shirts that have spelling errors in them.
She's across the street. And we have euros, everyone. Would you like a euro? They're delicious. I'll take a euro. And they have like a little like image of like Murdaugh stamped into it with a poker. The movie got her got her one of those misconduct charges. The second misconduct charge doesn't even have anything to do with the Murdaugh. A bonus scandal here for Becky. And the perjury charge, Hill is accused of lying under oath during a hearing to decide whether Murdaugh deserved a new trial. She was asked directly by the former Chief Justice if she'd let anyone from the press peek at sealed exhibits. Her answer, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Did she say it like that? Can you do a better version?
No, ma'am.
I live in the South and I can't do it well. I'm just too Northern. No, ma'am. I can't fucking do it. Anyway, if I like Southern, I got to think Southern. How do people talk?
I think your daughter sounds very Southern because I've listened to some of the Ghost podcasts.
Don't say that.
That she's on don't with
ever
Carol.
Say
and
don't ever say
she's
that.
She's got a Southern drawl to her.
Does she?
Yes.
Wow.
Because it struck me like, oh my God, that's Harper. Because I don't know Harper.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, hearing her voice, she is Southern. She's got it. You don't.
I will know. But I mean, my girlfriend has a pretty strong Southern drawl to her. But she has like the charisma of Dolly Parton, where she's just like, no. And it's fucking hilarious.
You sound very Midwestern.
Well, yeah, because it's media. So we got the northernness beat out of us, and I didn't take that on. And I can't do a lot of good accents. So anyway, according to investigators, the whole no ma'am. I'm sorry, I can't do it well.
Oh, that's terrible.
People
you
are
need
trying
to work on that.
I know, and I'm in the South, and I gotta work. I don't know.
Oh my God. You would think you hear it all the time.
I can't even.
No? All right. That's your assignment. You need to work on that.
I don't want to work on that. That's something I'm good. According to investigators, that was a lie and not just a white lie about eating the last cookie. Kind of like this was under oath. The South Carolina Law Enforcement Division basically SLED is what they're called for short, the state's version of folks who come in when things get really messy. It's the state's version of the FBI, basically. They'd been looking into Hill since the beginning of the year. Part of their investigation was about whether she tried to sway the Murdaugh jury and whether she used her job for personal gain. Alex Murdaugh's lawyers They're not shocked. In a statement, they said they've been waving red flags about Hill's behavior since the trial ended. They believe her arrest just adds more weight to their push for a new trial. Murdaugh's team already tried for one in late 23, saying Hill had made inappropriate comments to jurors, like nudging them towards a guilty verdict. I mean, and look, Alec Murdaugh's guilty as sin, but you can't do that. Now, Justice Gene Toll, who oversaw that new trial request, did agree that Hill got a little starstruck and said some foolish things, but ruled it didn't sway the jury enough to start the whole thing over, or she just didn't want to deal with it and kicked it down the court route. Think of it like, yeah, the referee might have made a bad call, but the game still counts. Murdaugh's team has since appealed that decision. And for Becky Hill, she stepped down as a clerk of court back in March, but said it had nothing to do with the investigation. Sure. Okay, Becky. Sure has nothing to do with the investigation. She was released on bail.
Wow.
So,
you know, that's, think about someone like her being in, and she's not in prison, but she was put in jail for a little bit.
Yeah.
She knows a lot of the people who are sitting in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean the employees. I mean the people behind the bars.
And you if know, the
she
state
didn't put them there,
and the state's not interested in doing this again, they have no. They'd rather he's locked up and we're not having to do any of this.
Yeah.
Now the fact that they're going as far as charging her like this, that means they know she really did some shit. It's not just Harpootalin and Murdaugh's lawyers sitting there, you know, raising the red flag. The state
no,
knows.
It's not like they're bored going, let's throw this thing at Becky. They're we're going to have to do something about this.
They got a point. Yeah. I mean, yeah. They got a point that this was effed up. And she has charges in a complete other county that have nothing to do with Murdaugh. And like I said at the beginning of all this, and I think we all did, was where else has she done things like this? Because I'm going to guess this isn't in a vacuum. It's not an isolated incident where Becky just one day decided to be Becky and be Becky's just Southern Belle, and she's going to go say all this stuff, and it's going to be all good. And that's just how we do things down here in Colleton County. I'm doing a little bit better on that one.
A little bit.
My girlfriend actually made a good point last night. She said it's really kind of funny that the persona of like the Southern Belle, like the Becky Hill types, of just like that, like she's got the personality. That's just Becky. How that so closely aligns with a narcissist. Because that's exactly what it is. It basically is. And I'm not saying all Southern Belles that have those personalities are narcissists, but I got a Southern Belle that's saying all those personalities are narcissists. But I don't know that they are. I don't think so. I think sometimes it's just a very big personality. But it was an interesting observation because we were talking about this case and all of that. And that was I thought it was an interesting take on it.
So, yeah, that is interesting, actually.
But she does strike me. I mean, because if you are one, and again, I know we say that word on this show far too much, and you play a drinking game, and you would have serious liver problems by now if you were playing along with that. It's true. So many roads lead to narcissism, and that is what gets so many people in trouble because they get so blinded by their own ego and what they think they can get away with and not having any empathy for others that when things finally collide, they're just completely blindsided because everyone else sees it. They don't. But then they get the other people around them that are also kind of narcissistic or full on narcissists as well, and they go, oh, I can relate to that. I'd like it if I had somebody by my side, somebody caught me for the shit I'm doing. And then flying monkeys. Voila! Unfortunately, you got to look more like Karen Reed to get those. Because Becky ain't got none.
Boy. Yeah. Curious to see where this is going to go.
I think you
Who
should get
Who does she hire for her attorney?
I have no idea. I don't know if she has one yet. Maybe Becky's going to represent Becky. She's going to find a backwoods Southern lawyer. Don't let Becky down. Da-na-na-na. No, don't let Becky down. She may try to influence the Alec Murdaugh's verdict, but don't forgive her for what she do. But don't let me down. Becky's gonna leave it uptown. Ba-na-na-na-na. There you go. You don't know what that is? You know what that is? Come on. I know you didn't work in country, but come on.
Hang on.
Oh, Jesus.
I worked in country for 4 years.
It's fancy.
Oh, Reba, I'm sorry.
Here's your one chance, Becky, don't let me down.
It's fancy.
Yes, it's like the most damn popular song in country radio history.
I'm sorry. Wow, I didn't go there. I watch Reba. I don't necessarily listen to her.
I don't really either. I ate at Reba's restaurant.
How was it?
About a year and a half ago.
It was where is that?
In like Podunk, Oklahoma.
Oh, because she's from McAllister.
Yeah.
See, I know my shit. I know
Reba.
Oh,
you knew that. I mean, it's literally, the town doesn't have anything in it, but she's invested so much like into the downtown, which is like four buildings. And she has this great restaurant down there that serves, for celebrity restaurants, it was one of my favorites. It was delicious.
Really, because some of them are just horseshit.
It's just horseshit. But this is like in a very small town. You can get off the highway if you haven't been going through Arkansas. But it was like really good. They had like this amazing Bloody Mary that had like a whole bunch of stuff on it. Kind of, it competed with Wisconsin, which is rare. And then I don't remember what I had, but it was Southern cooking, but it was delicious. It was really, it was very good.
So I'm looking at the menu right now. I'm in Wisconsin, but got a long weekend coming here. My God, I could get in the car and go get me some sourdough bread and bourbon butter.
It's still like a 3-hour drive from me, but yeah, I don't know, maybe less.
Oh my God. Fried green tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, giant pretzel.
It was
flat iron steak.
It was good. And it wasn't too kitschy. I mean, certainly you could go up. There was like the Reba store upstairs and you could get Reba stuff. I mean,
fried catfish. Southern food is the best.
Yeah. I'm making crawfish etouffee for dinner right now, actually. It's simmering on the stove upstairs.
What do you have going?
Crawfish etouffee.
Oh, bite me.
You know what? I learned it in Wisconsin.
How?
The girl I was dating back then.
That'll do it.
She had a neighbor that was from the South, and they learned how to make it, and she taught me how to make it, and my mind was blown, and it's still actually one of my favorite dishes to this day.
Well, you're a chef, too, so, I mean, that's... You can do shit like that.
I wasn't back then, but I learned.
Don't even. Because when I knew you, you were doing shit with food that I'm like, get me a Stouffer's frozen meal and I'm good. You were creating your own dishes. So don't downplay this. It's because
we had the meat guy, Wayne, who would show up with the boxes of meat and weed.
See, I only got the meat. He would only give me steak. I was never offered the weed.
I didn't even do weed back then. And we had this guy who listened to our radio station and loved it. And he delivered steaks to a lot of the supper clubs and restaurants in northern Wisconsin. And I was brand new to the station. Somebody said, "Oh, go meet him over at the 76 right off the highway."
He's
going to give you a bunch of boxes of meat for everybody.
And okay. These boxes of meat, we're talking like 2-inch frickin' sirloins and T-bones.
It was all the stuff that like the restaurant said, we don't need this. Not because it was bad, but because they just overordered.
Yeah.
And then you get lobster, you'd get steak, and it was boxes of meat. And we're working in radio, so we're basically living poor.
Poor. And I was stealing toilet paper from the radio station. That's how broke I was.
That's how life was working in radio. So this was amazing. And then I remember getting back from the meat delivery or bringing it all back to the station, and we open up the boxes, and there's envelopes, little white envelopes in all these things. I'm like, what the hell is this? oh, there's a ton of weed in this. So I just like transported all this weed across town in like 2001 or 2000, yeah, right around there, where it's like still highly illegal. I had no idea I was even doing that. I'm like, what is this? They're like, oh yeah, you got some too? I'm like, I don't even know what to do with it.
I never got any.
I didn't even, I should have given mine to you.
Well, I wouldn't have even known what to do with it.
I hid it in my ceiling tiles in my apartment because I was so paranoid about it.
Is some of it still there?
It probably is. You know, it'd be very interesting to go back into that building and see, is this...
I know where that building is,
25-year-old weed is still in the ceiling tile.
Go knock on the door and go, hey, can I just look in your ceiling for a second?
I didn't know what to do with it. It just kind of sat there, and I think I moved and didn't take it with me. Today would be a different story now that it's legal, but back then I was like, uh-oh.
Not legal here.
That's true. It's not legal there. I'm sorry about that. It needs to be. It really does need to be. Well, there you go. Way off topic, but there's the latest on Alec Murdaugh and Becky Hill. Yeah, he might get a new trial. And for all intents and purposes, he does deserve one. Even though he's guilty as shit, we have to do the legal system right.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Alec Murdaugh, the case that just keeps on giving, because we don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to see a new trial? The South Carolina Supreme Court still yet to decide on that. But I got to say, if you're not looking at the merits of the case, and you're more so looking at the structure of the case, right versus wrong, how things should work in a specific way to get justice in a fair and balanced way, it didn't happen. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, joining me to discuss. And it's something none of us really saw happening while it was happening, all after the fact. Becky Hill, of course, the one that all the fingers being pointed at originally. It was about some comments that were made to jurors, one saying they definitely heard it and it influenced their decision. But then we also have now Egg Lady, a human being, not just eggs. Her name is Myra Crosby, juror number 785. She's the one who allegedly, according to Becky, had that Facebook post, or her ex-husband had the Facebook post talking about the case, and supposedly her and her ex-husband had this conversation. Turns out that never existed. There wasn't a Facebook post by either of them. But Becky showed Judge Clifton Newman something that made him say, take your eggs and go. What do you think happened here? I mean, isn't this like the definition of jury tampering, if this is true?
You know, this is one of these cases that, first of all, I mean, the whole reason we know about it is Becky Hill herself. She decided to write a book. I mean, if she just didn't say anything, I don't think anyone would have said anything.
No.
That's the irony of it. I'm not trying to say that's right or wrong, Tony.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's the facts.
It is.
You know, she absolutely, as the saying goes, cooked her own goose. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We have all this information. She wrote a lot of it. She plagiarized some of it. It's mind-boggling to me that she did not realize what this would mean. This is a high profile case. Her attorneys are high profile. And then I want to add to that the dogged work that his attorneys did. Mm-hmm. By their statements, they were literally driving around, going from juror to juror, trying to get these, you know, statements notarized and sworn to regarding statements made by her. So that was a lot of work. And that in and of itself, to me, is problematic.
Yeah.
You know, badgering jurors, if you will, going to their homes, invading their privacy. Obviously, it wasn't illegal. They're attorneys, and they did it. But that's what, when I think about the groundwork that laid where we are at now, it's really very interesting, and I think groundbreaking. back to your question, is this the definition of sort of jury tampering? You know, when you look at the statements she made, I just still, I need to, I want to hear what everybody says. I really would love to hear the words of these jurors.
Yeah.
There's so much that can be said, that can be taken so many different ways. I always use the expression, you can say you're home sick. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you're home sick or you're home and you got your you need to throw up?
Yeah.
Right?
Inflection.
So there's it's confusing, and I feel like some people seem to have made a lot of her comments. Some people didn't even think any of the, some people didn't even hear them. This court, the Supreme Court, has got a lot to sort through.
Well, the fact that this post supposedly never even existed, and they've looked into it, and it appears it didn't exist on either of their accounts. So, but Judge Newman has said, no, she showed me something. So what the hell did she show him? I mean, the only thing that can come to my mind is that Becky Hill created a fake Facebook account to make it look like it was the juror, showed it to him, and just, you know, hey, look at this, done. Oh my gosh, yeah, we got to do this. And then that was that. And then delete the account. I mean, I wonder if that could be looked into more. I don't know what else she would have showed him, or if it was just on her word that she said this. But he does claim that he did see something. That in itself, to remove a juror by making up a false narrative about them because you suspect that maybe they will hang the jury because maybe they haven't been convinced that Alec Murdaugh was the murderer. I mean, that's how this story is playing out right now. I don't see any way he couldn't get a new trial, but I also don't see any way that this couldn't be somehow Becky Hill being criminally liable for this.
Well, I think we still have a ways to go regarding that post. And I remember that post. I remember posting it on my Twitter. As I recall, I remember looking closely into this only from the standpoint of, did it exist? Mm-hmm. And it did exist. What happened to it, I don't know. I find it very interesting. Could the individuals involved take it down? I mean, there are screenshots of it circling around social media, at least as I recall.
But it's not hard to make a fake account and make, I can make one. I mean, you've had it done to you. You know, where people could fake it.
I get it done to me daily.
Exactly.
Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And if you're just showing it to someone and they're not digging into it much, they're just going, oh, look, this person. I mean, it's easy to look at that and think you're making the right decision. I don't really blame Judge Clifton Newman here at all. If anything, just for not, I guess, doing a little more research into it, but you got a trial to keep moving along. There's not a lot of time to look into something like that when accusations like this pop up.
But Tony, the other thing is could anybody have done that?
Yeah.
In other words, not her, and then she sees it and she makes something out of it. I just feel there's so many layers about the Facebook piece. I think that obviously if somehow it's traced to her IP address,
yeah,
we have a huge situation here. But I think at the crux of the tampering situation are statements that were made.
Yep.
And to me, that is going to be the crux of whether this is overturned or not. And that's only saying if this Facebook account did exist in some way, shape, or form at some point created by somebody.
You make a good point.
But
yeah, it doesn't have to have been from her. It could have been. I mean, this was such a high-profile case. Anybody could have really done that if they knew who a juror was, which I'm sure there were plenty of people who did. Anyone could have made this up just to put it into the ether, to troll, if you will. And I could see Becky, being Becky, going, oh my gosh, maybe this is real, and believing it. And it never really did exist on either of their actual profiles, though.
I could too. You know, when you look at Becky Hill, Becky Hill is not some criminal mastermind, in my opinion. Becky Hill was a clerk. She reminds me so much of almost every clerk I've seen in every court, right? Extremely organized. She was proud of her job. She was, I think, for all intents and purposes, trying to see justice served, but clouded and probably made comments she should not have made. Mm-hmm. Again, that's if this Facebook post you know, if we can sort of forget about that as being truly connected in her to her in yeah. any way, shape, or form. If we're just talking about her comments and the things she said, you know, I think the biggest one was something like, to the point of, you can't really believe him on the stand, or words to that effect. I yeah. mean, that, you know, left such an impression with a juror. Is that enough? We're talking really case precedent setting grounds here, and it's going to be very interested to see. I'm so interested to see what the court decides. Mm-hmm. I feel like here in our public view, we just are missing so many facts.
Yeah,
I want to hear more facts of what was said and what was interpreted. And again, it's just mind-boggling to me that she cooked her own goose in this regard.
All things that didn't need to have to take place, but after the fact, they did. And what an impact they are having on the outcome of all of this. It'll be fascinating to see once this gets to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, think about this, Tony. Here he was convicted, and I think the evidence was really, really strong in this case. A lot of people didn't agree with me at the time, but I thought it was strong simply based on that surprise recording that was made, the Snapchat that proved he was down at the kennel.
Yeah.
You know, that was just the aha moment. That was, all right, case over, yeah. Book him, Dano, point. And so to have this possibly overturned and have this trial all take place again, you're not going to see Alec Murdoch lightly on the stand. He's still going to be in prison the rest of his natural life because of all of his other crimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. Like you said, these words that she spoke could have such a detrimental impact on this murder case.
Hey, thanks for checking out the video. Be sure to follow us wherever you download podcasts, and especially Apple Podcasts, where you can get advanced episode and premium content on our premium channel right there. Also, be sure to follow us on social media so you don't miss any breaking updates on the stories that matter to you most. We're on TikTok, X, Instagram, Facebook. Just search Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi, and you'll find us right there. Again, thanks for watching.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Well, after 2 years of pretending he just didn't know any better, former Palmetto State Bank CEO Russell Lafitte has finally admitted what everyone else already knew. He's a crook. You know, this is the guy that was buddies with Alec Murdoch. Yeah, that Alec Murdoch. In a guilty plea deal made public this week, Lafitte confessed to six criminal counts, copping to a scheme with Alec Murdoch that laundered and stole at least $3.5 million from vulnerable clients over an 11-year stretch. That's more than a decade of playing dumb while using his bank like a personal vending machine for fraud. But unlike previous courtroom performances, Lafitte now admits he wasn't just naive or misled. He knew exactly what he was doing, and it was illegal. It's a major shift from the story Lafitte has been trying to sell since the walls started closing in back in 2022. In that trial, the man spent 5 hours on the stand defending everything but bad judgment. He painted himself as the village idiot of banking, manipulated by Murdoch into funneling millions out of client settlements without understanding what was going on. He even pulled the classic "not intentionally" line when asked if he'd help Murdoch steal. But now, in black and white, Lafitte is admitting he did help intentionally, repeatedly. And he knew it was against the law. This admission changes everything, especially for the people he hurt. It also spares them from enduring a second trial that would have just rehashed painful memories and exposed them to more cross-examination from Lafitte's legal team. Instead of dragging them through that again, Lafitte gets 5 years. It's a cut from the 7-year sentence he was serving before his conviction was overturned on a technicality. And it's a far cry from the 9 to 11 years prosecutors were originally gunning for in their 2023 sentencing memo. That memo was brutal. Prosecutors said what made Lafitte stand out wasn't just the crimes. Plenty of people commit bank fraud. It was the audacity to lie about it over and over. They detailed how Lafitte had spun tales in a civil deposition during a disciplinary review, at his bond hearing, and at trial. And even after the jury found him guilty, he still tried to appeal, blaming everyone but himself. But now, thanks to this plea deal, there'll be no retrial, no appeals, no last-ditch arguments about ineffective legal counsel. Lafitte has waived all of it. It's a legal dead end for him, and a sigh of relief for prosecutors and victims alike. Let's talk about the company he kept. Lafitte wasn't pulling these moves with some faceless fraudster. He was in business with Alec Murdaugh, arguably South Carolina's most radioactive defendant. By the time Lafitte's case came up for retrial, Murdaugh was already a convicted murderer and a convicted thief. The idea of facing a jury while being tied at the hip to that guy, not really a very good look. The background of all this are the stories of the people they stole from, the Pfizer sisters, or Filer sisters, Hannah and Elena. They had their settlement money drained. Natasha Thomas lost $350,000. Arthur Badger left to raise 6 children after his wife's death in a crash, had over $1 million siphoned from his rightful settlement. Lafitte helped reroute that money through his bank into accounts he and Murdaugh controlled, like some twisted game of Monopoly where the victims always lost and the banker pocketed Boardwalk. Emails between Lafitte and Murdaugh discussing Badger's money were described by attorney Mark Tinsley as especially damning, which is why Tinsley says this guilty plea isn't a surprise, it's damage control. And for the victims and their attorneys, this deal is about more than just prison time. It's closure, it's avoiding another public trial, and most importantly, it's proof in writing that Lafitte wasn't just a clueless banker caught in the crossfire. He was an active, informed participant in a massive fraud. Now, even as he faces civil lawsuits where he continues to deny responsibility, his federal guilty plea will hang around his neck like a cement necktie. Because no matter how many depositors or depositions that he gives, the ink on that 10-page agreement does not lie. Russell Lafitte may have spent years denying, deflecting, and dodging the truth, but this week he finally ran out of exits. So, that's not going to be good for his civil cases.
What do these people do? How do they get any of this money back? They don't, do they?
No.
And this is how some of them were going to survive. What do you do when that money is gone?
Well,
and it's some prick like this that did it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with something like this, I mean, they would, you know, seize his assets. They probably already have. And then whatever they could get out of that, then they would disperse to victims. Usually. I don't know exactly how that's all gone down here, you know, but I don't know what he's worth. I don't know. You know, at some point, you know, you run out. So
do you sue the bank? Can you sue the bank? Go after them because he represented them?
I think the bank has been sued.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that
it's been a while since I've paid attention to this case.
I could be wrong on that, but I do believe that that has taken place. Because, yeah, I mean, you could. He was a representative of the bank. And, yeah, I mean, it's under their purview, if you will. So,
well, there you would hope that there would be some sort of checks and balances that, you know, where's this money coming from? Mm-hmm. I mean, although maybe
he's the guy that would sign off on everything, though. He's the one that's how he got away with it. I mean, if it was a teller doing it or something, he'd be like, "Wow, is this going on?" But he knew what he was doing and he knew where it was going and he knew what he made it, what he needed to make it look like. So an audit wouldn't catch it.
He's the auditor.
Yeah.
How convenient.
I wonder, I mean, just, you know, how ingrained in his lies that he was for so long. You know, of Alec Murdaugh that gets so ingrained in his lies as well. It just seems like that is such a way of life for a lot of people in power there. I mean, it's probably a way of life for a lot of people in power anywhere, quite honestly. But the level of it for people that, you know, you don't think of as criminals. I mean, these were, you know, fathers, these were husbands, these, you know, they really portrayed themselves as, you know, just a down home banker. You know, I'm just a friendly neighborhood bank, you know, come on in. Kids get a box
probably
of raisins.
Probably sponsored a softball team too, right?
Yeah, I don't know, probably. I have no idea.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I wonder if they gave out, you know, the little dum-dum suckers to the kids or if they did raisins. Did you ever get the raisins at a bank?
No, just yeah. The dum-dums.
Yeah, my parents went to a credit union and they gave out little boxes of Sun-Made raisins.
And there's nothing wrong with raisins, but the problem would be
you want a dum-dum.
Well, you want a dum-dum because raisins seem healthy and kids don't want healthy. But number two, unless they were fresh, those things could crack a tooth. They'd get so hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think they went through a lot of them, so I think they were pretty pretty fresh, if I remember the raisins.
Do banks still do that? I know they give out dog bones.
I don't know the last time I went through a bank drive-thru.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Last time I did, though, my bank is all digital. Like, even where there are windows, it's digital now. And I don't know that there's... because sometimes there's not even... You're not even talking to the people behind there. You're talking to, like, somebody in an office. And then they relay to the bank or whatever, like, okay, you know, take this to... Or some of it's just completely automated, too. You're just putting your money in or it to, you know, pulling it out. Yeah.
My bank's in another state, and then I've got one in Minnesota, so I haven't been there in probably 10 years. And then I've got another one that I don't even know if it exists. The money just goes through and the card works. I think it exists.
Yeah. And then you're going to find out you're like committing some sort of horrible fraud.
It's money
like,
laundering.
I didn't know. Just like Russell Lafitte, I had no idea I was helping do all of this. I wasn't even sure if the bank existed. Yeah. Well,
how do you know if a bank exists, especially now? I mean, to my knowledge, I go through Charles Schwab. Is there a physical bank somewhere? I've done everything online. I sign up online. I have an app.
I can't say one that I've seen around here, but I wonder, I would imagine there's some in some places, just not as...
I don't know.
Or maybe some parts of the country, they're more, you know, prevalent. I don't know.
It's weird, though. It's weird to send your money to an entity you've never seen, you know?
Yeah, it is for us. But there's a lot of online banks that do not have any sort of physical location. And they have, like, some pretty good interest rates and stuff that are usually better than anything you can get in a physical setup. But, again, yeah, it is kind of weird,
We're used to going through the drive-thru. Like, we're used to walking in and seeing a teller.
And getting the dum-dums.
The dum-dums.
Or on a bad day, raisins.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.